You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
Oliver Eliasson, Your Curious Journey is the newest exhibition at Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tāmaki. Eliasson is an Icelandic-Danish world-renowned artist known for sculptured and large-scale installation art employing elemental materials such as light, water and air temperature to enhance the viewer's experience, often speaking to a broader reflection of the history of human interaction with the environment and its impact, raising awareness about the climate crisis and the climate's impacted state. Your Curious Journey highlights over 30 years of Eliasson's practice, showing key works such as Endlessly Happy Invisible Endings from 2023, The Transformative Potential of Colour in Yellow Corridor from 1997, Under the Weather from 2022, and The Magnetic Field Wrapping a Globe in a Drift Compass from 2019. Making the invisible visible is a key overarching idea of these works, with the artist creating experiences that can be understood by wherever or whoever you are, welcoming everyone and their varied perspectives. I caught up with Senior Curator of Global Contemporary Art at the Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tāmaki, Natasha Conland, about Eliasson's practice and the significance of this exhibition.
So Oliver Eliasson is an Icelandic-Danish artist who was born in 1967 of Icelandic parents and grew up in Denmark. In fact, went to the Royal Academy in Denmark and then subsequently went to live in the US and came back and largely made his reputation in Europe. He was very much part of a shift in global contemporary art in the 1990s, which saw the expansion of the scope for art from objecthood into environments, and sometimes those being quite extreme, full room environment, and most recently working externally on architectural projects, in particular working in the natural world. And by the turn of the century, as we moved into the 21st century, Oliver was really one of the most well-known artists globally. He's exhibited all over the world, and his work in particular, some of those key works from the 1990s, which have still travelled to many centres, have become really quintessential of that movement, which emerged in the 90s but is still very prescient today.
As the point of entry to Your Curious Journey, I thought we could firstly speak about the work Under the Weather 2022. It brings together Eliasson's three decade-long interests, the nature of perception, ecological interconnectivity, geometry, and the viewer's role as a co-creator. How do you think this work as the entry point serves to introduce the viewer to Your Curious Journey?
I think the really lovely thing about the exhibition is it has such a wide overview of his practice. It's a real treat to have those key works in the exhibition, like Beauty and Moss Wall and Yellow Corridor, which he became so renowned for in the 90s, and intermingle those works with more recent projects that have come as he's become increasingly known for his work with climate action. Works like Ice Watch, which have been exhibited in public space in London, Copenhagen, Paris, in accordance with COP meetings and groupings, and the works that we have that are specific for New Zealand are very much selected by Oliver to raise issues that are important here. So, for example, we have two works selected by Oliver and myself for New Zealand. There are others, but in particular the piece in the North Atrium, Under the Weather, is almost like a partner project to his very well-known piece from the Tate Turbine Hall, which was called The Weather Project, which most people remember as the installation of a large sun in the Turbine Hall. In fact, it was an atmospheric work that also had a kind of fogging or misting and a big screen. And this piece, Under the Weather, which is in our North Atrium Teatia, is called Under the Weather. And it's actually a large elliptical shape that has the printed effect of a moiré on the surface. A moiré is just a term for when you get an optical illusion through the staging of very closely drawn parallel lines. And so the effect is to turn a large ellipse into something that looks like a digital screen. And in fact, it feels like you're moving when you're walking underneath it. In fact, you have to really move around to try and work out what it is. This piece, as well as Still River, which is a work that has taken water from the Waikato River and gradually freezes it over sequential days, and we watch as visitors it slowly melting and returning to water, is a special work that allows a kind of meditation on water quality. And not just that, but also the perceptual state of being able to look at water because of the fact that it's frozen in front of us. There's a lot of diversity in the show. The show's also quite meditative as opposed to being in the spectacular scale. There's another exhibition of his in LA right now, which dwells much more specifically on his kaleidoscopes, which are those big immersive perceptual field works. And this one feels like quite a gentle and engaging, quite thought-provoking journey, I think, about what it means to translate ideas from the Arctic region into our environment with our connection and association with the Antarctic region and also our very, very similar geographic environments, Iceland to New Zealand, which had many correlations geographically.
100%. And to add on to what you were saying there about, you know, this exhibition really shows the diversity of his practice and really gives you a great overview. Your Curious Journey brings together a diverse range of artworks and using such a wide scope of material and choice of medium, which Eliasson has said before that his medium is people. Would you be able to expand on this comment and speak to Eliasson's choice of material and the mediums he works with?
Absolutely. It's almost like when I'm thinking about Oliver's work, it often feels quite elemental. I think when people experience it, they experience something quite large because so many of their senses are engaged. But actually the work is made in a technical way from quite simple ingredients. So you have a very, very reduced field giving you quite large sensorial experiences. Even if you are literally just looking at blocks of ice, you're hearing them drip through into the water, and it's almost like you're listening to a water work or a sound work. He talks about them being co-created by audiences because of this facility that he noticed very, very early on with his work, for example, in the piece Beauty, which dates from 1993 in the show, which is simply almost like a hose that's installed in the ceiling with a spotlight that shines on it. So very, very simple technology on the face of it. However, what we are doing is something much more complex behind the scenes, which is taking all the water that comes down and just goes onto the floor and creating a very, very almost invisible drain that then recycles the water and pumps it back through that hose so that you've got a circuit behind the walls and floor of the gallery. But from the viewer's point of view, when you're in front of that work, when you're in front of that field of mist and you walk into it from whatever perspective you are, and knowing that water is not fixed, so it's not even out of a hose, it's going at a different rate or a spread, that every viewer who's in there is seeing a different sensation because of their height, because of who they are, because of where they're standing in the artwork. There's no instructions of how to be with the work. And some people see the work as a kind of forest fire made out of water, and some people see it as a rainbow. And when you walk right deep into the work, you have a kind of experience a bit like standing behind a waterfall, which is, I think, quite a favourite tradition in New Zealand, although I notice not many of their Larsen technicians had done that. But the feeling when you stand behind a waterfall on a beautiful day, when you're looking through it and you've got that huge roar of the water and the experience of the power and the force of it, and then the sunlight in between shining on the water often creates this incredibly luminous and quite intimate rainbow. And it's almost infuriating when you're with Oliver's work, I think that you feel almost, I don't know, bound back to some of those basic interactions with the natural world, which still provide so much joy, curiosity, reflection on what we're doing in the world. You know, some of them are quite almost childlike, and some of them are big. Some of them feel uncomfortable. Some of the feelings I'm talking about here feel incredibly uplifting. I think there's so many of those very simple experiences in the work that mean that people navigate and, you know, they're not lost in the space of the work. Instead, they're drawn into it. And that inquisition is really their own. Oliver often leaves all the mechanisms of the work available so you can see how it's being made. You know, it's also not a trick or a spectacular. It's actually an effect that exposes its science so that you can reflect on the why. The how is really there before you so that you can reflect on the why, if you like.
You know, adding to what you were saying there about, you know, the reflective nature of this exhibition, Eliasson's works are often a broader reflection of the history of human interaction with the environment and its impact, raising awareness about the climate crisis and the climate's impacted state. What would you say Eliasson's message to viewers might be with regards to this?
Well, it's something that he's talked about a lot, and without duplicating Oliver's own words, I think really part of the research that he's been involved in for these last 20, 30 years has been to experiment with the cognitive process, with the sensorial process, and he has even engaged people like behavioural scientists, for example. That is the luxury of working with such a broad studio, to really understand how people are affected by things, to make them think more deeply about the world around them. And he believes that in many ways the data is not what convinces people about climate. The data is still really important. It's not that the data and the science shouldn't be happening, but if you actually want to move people into a position of emboldened activity, they have to feel something and see it for themselves. And so a project like Ice Watch and Green River, for example, which have been much more directly orientated towards climate issues, people go to them and have their own experiences, and they're put in that very simple position of, for example, seeing an ancient glacier that has been taken from somewhere like Greenland, I think it was in particular for the Thames project, and watching it over a 7-day plus period and seeing it gradually turn from something bold and incredible and awe-inspiring to just a puddle on the ground. And the images of the work, although it may even feel cheesy from afar, were of people holding the ice, hugging it, touching it, engaging with it, and it was powerfully effective. And I think that he believes this is the potency of art and its ability to draw on human senses in a way that can transport people into more active, caring, capable relationship with climate issues. In addition to that, I think what is really important for the studio is that perceptual side is not left behind from the other research on climate, right? Like, the work is not just about climate. It's also about engaging visitors in a safe that they feel space and trusting. So another thing that he says quite often is that if we were doing this in a corporate environment or a political environment, the populace has, in a way, lost trust with those environments. But when they're in an art gallery, their trust degrees are quite open, and so they're actually ready to experience something new. Whereas if they're hearing it in a political space or a space that's obviously political or corporate, The trust level is just not there to take them on that journey.
And just one last question for you. What do you think is the significance of having a show by Oliver Eliasson as a renowned international artist and with this kind of messaging in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
I think with our very old and well-established tradition in the contemporary period of support and care for the environment, which arises in the moment that contemporary art in New Zealand and Aotearoa has a coming of age, means that our conceptual practice, our contemporary practice, is so intertwined with the environmental movement. Not only that, but our unique social structure, where we have a Department of Conservation as well as a Ministry of Environment, means these are very well enculturated ideas in New Zealand. And to have an artist who has such a stature, like Oliver, who's currently Goodwill Ambassador for Climate Action, have his work come here, means we have an opportunity to reflect outwards beyond our discrete environment into those issues that he has dealt with, researched, handled, but also share a kind of geographic story, right? So it's not just a cute little comment that I make about the similarity between New Zealand and Iceland. Oliver talks about how when he spent summer holidays in Iceland with his father, he would often go hiking, go up to the glaciers. So this was actually a genuine pattern of in his upbringing. And I think it really echoes experience that a lot of New Zealanders have of in their summer holidays, retreating to the natural world, whether it's the beach or the bush or the mountainscape, and using it as a place to really refresh and contemplate care of themselves, but also close connectivity with the biological environment of the natural world. But in that space, I think he would say important here is the observation of human impact. And some of our really notable ecologists have said the same thing for a really long time, that our change on the natural world is an important conversation to have alongside, you know, 100% pure, how beautiful our landscape is or how important our tourist industry is. It's also like, how have humans been leaving footprints, leaving tire marks, creating toxicity, and how does that lie beside our desire to protect and care and retreat and be nourished by the country that we're in? This has important issues for Indigenous politics and for New Zealanders who have felt they've been raised in this space, right? So I think it's a beautiful chance to have this kind of connection, top and bottom sides of the globe. And yeah, ice is such a beautiful metaphor for the cornerstone of what is changing here, right? And as is the air, and his work lands us back there really wholeheartedly in a summer period where we are going back off to the beach and to the mountainscape. So I don't know. There is a utopian aspect to the work, and why not? Why not give a bit of that back into our culture at this time and think what it can do?
That was Senior Curator of Global Contemporary Art at Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tāmaki, Natasha Conland, speaking to me about their newest exhibition, Oliver Eliasson, Your Curious Journey, on now at Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tāmaki, until March 2025.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.